Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. As always, we are very much excited and delighted to be with you and are looking forward to this time that the Lord has allowed us to have to go into His Word and to see the things that He says concerning life and godliness. This is a live call-in radio broadcast where you can call in your questions, and we will do our best just to let the Bible speak. And so we encourage you to call right now. The lines are open. That number to call is 308-9564. Again, that's 308-9564. And we will do our best just to go to God's Word and see what He has to say on the matter. Now, there may be some things that you'll ask us, and again, there's not necessarily a passage that we'll talk about that. And so please understand why we may decide not to try to answer that, because we just want to say what God's Word says. The Bible teaches us in the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, in verse 17, Romans 10, 17, says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so what you want, only thing that you want, is just the Word of God. What does God say on the matter? And so then we have to prepare ourselves as listeners to be willing to accept what God says on the matter and allow His Word to have the final say on everything. So it's anything that pertains to the church. It's anything that pertains to life and anything that pertains to godliness. And so we encourage you to go ahead and call in your questions right now. 308-9564. That is the number to call, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
Again, the lines are open, and we are at 308-9564 to call in your questions here at the station. And we also have our text line available today. The text line to text in your questions would be 725-9283. At 725-9283 is the text line to be able to text in your questions. We'll be delighted for you to join us and send in your questions that you may have on your heart, the questions, anything that we would be able to give to you as an answer from God's Word. We'll want to make light of the correspondence course that we offer, the Bible study through the mail that we give to those who call in and give their information. Today, there is not a live operator standing by at the 553-5157 number that there usually is. However, there is a recording, and if you would like to enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course, you still may be able to do that. You still can. You can just wait until the recording finishes, and it's just about a minute or two. Just wait until the recording finishes, and then give your information to the recording at the end of the message, and we will be able to get to you that way. But to join us here at the station, your line is 308-9564. We have a couple lines here at the station. 308-9564, maybe having a little bit of technical difficulties, but as the phone keeps ringing, please just continue to please allow it to ring. Go ahead and give your question when you are answered. Please be able to have your question ready. Be mindful that we only have a couple of lines here at the station, and so there may be callers coming in behind you. So we would appreciate it if when you call in your question, you would be able to have your question ready. We try not to have too much dialogue to tie up the question line, because we do like to be mindful of the other callers who would be calling in right after you on the other line. So if you do call and just have it to keep ringing, please just allow it to ring. Hang up and call back, or wait a second or two, wait a minute or two, and we will be happy to get to you. We want to be able to get as many questions as we can. But the lines at the station here are open, 308-9564. Or if you would like to just alleviate all that and not worry about all that standing in line waiting for the questions, you are free to text in your questions to 725-9283. That text line is available. There's no waiting in line for that, and so that might be a better option for you if you would like to do that as well. Either way, we are delighted to get your question. Once again, the voice line is 308-9564, 308-9564, or the text line, 725-9283, 725-9283.
Now, we do have a website that's available to you, and that's www.biblealone.com. And you can take advantage of that website. There's a link on that website that will allow you to stream today's broadcast. And so we encourage you, if you have friends, neighbors that are unable to tune in to the broadcast due to where they're living, Sometimes our signal only goes but so far. There is a way for them to tune in by way of the Internet. And again, they can just go to our website. That's www.biblealone.com. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. I believe we have a live caller standing by. Kendall, are you there?
Hi, how you doing? My name is Kendall.
Let's try again. Kendall, are you there?
I'm good. When I was a kid, I used to hear my mom always talk about, she said, the truth will set you free. And when I read the scriptures, I got an interpretation from it. But when the Bible says the truth will set you free, are they referring to it's better to tell the truth than tell a lie? Or is there more meaning to it than that?
There's probably a little bit more meaning to that. That's in John, the 8th chapter, John chapter 8, and there's an entire context around that. But you brought out a very, very good question. In John chapter 8, I believe that's verse 32, what you just quoted, John 8 and verse 32, where Jesus says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, if we go back up just a little bit, it establishes a context. Jesus is talking to a group of people who had been living under the law of Moses. They were living in such a way that they believed themselves to be more special than everyone else. And so what Jesus and his and Jesus coming, he was ushering in a new way, a new life. And these folks thought that for as long as they were descendants of Abraham, they were someone special. And that really isn't the case. It's not just being Abraham descendant that makes you somebody special, but rather it's living a life a certain way. So I'm going to pick up the reading in verse 31. The Bible says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed.'" The word disciple means a student, a follower. And thus, in order to be a disciple of Jesus, they had to actually abide or live in his word. So it was more than just being able to trace your lineage back to Abraham. But rather, it involves doing what God says, living in his word. So again, he says that Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, here he's not talking about telling the truth, although there's other passages that lets us know that we have to be honest. But Jesus is talking about truth in reference to his word, because in the previous verse, he says, "You have to abide in my word, and you shall know the truth." There's a passage in the book of John, the 17th chapter, in verse 17, John 17, 17, where Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." So Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says that God's word is truth. And thus, these folks were to abide in that word. And by abiding in that word, they could know the truth. And thus, by knowing the truth could make you free. And so it's not just just kind of a casual statement that, well, here's truth over here, and truth all by itself is going to make me free. No, he says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And so it's by knowing the truth that the truth frees. A person has to come to understand what the truth is, thereby coming to understand what God's word is, what God's word is saying to them in their lives. And then that's how it's going to free you from sin, free you from the bondage of sin. Make sense?
Beyond a shadow of a doubt. Thank you very much.
All right.
That was very well put. Thank you.
Good, good. So join us right now and go ahead and call 308-9564. That's the line to call. The lines are open. We sure appreciate everyone's diligence to try to tune in week after week. And we hope the things that we share with you will be helpful to you as we go to the Bible for the answers. God's word contains all of the answers to life and godliness. And we just have to go there for those answers. I appreciate so much the young man that just called in. Very good question. He reverted back to what he had been taught all his life. Says this is what I was told. And then as a result of what he was told, he had a question. And I think that is important. You and I can look back in our lives and we can see that there were many things that we learned along the way. Are those things accurate concerning God's word? And so one of the things, or one of the purpose of this broadcast, is to be able to answer such questions by going back to God's word and seeing what he says. So to join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That is our voice line here at the station. You'll call. We'll be able to write down your question and bring it. It will be brought in to us. Or if, like the gentleman that just called in, Kendall, if you wish to go live, that can be arranged as well. And you can ask your question live on the air. If you prefer to text us, we do have a text line that is available to you. Now, that text number is 725-9283. That's 725-9283. And again, we will do all that we can just to stay within the boundaries of God's word, thereby letting the Bible speak. 308-9564.
We have a caller named Willie who calls in this question. Willie, thank you for tuning into the program, and thank you for calling in your question. And Willie's question is an evangelist over the church? Well, Willie, thank you. That's a very good question. And I have a couple of scriptures that I want to be able to give to you in order to answer this question. As far as being over the church, we want to see who is over the church. First, I want to direct your attention to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, where this was after Simon Peter in verse 16 said, "You are the Christ, Son of the living God," in response to Christ asking his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And in verse 18, Jesus says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." So Jesus says it's his church that he will build. And over in, still in the same book in Matthew, over in chapter 28, we want to bring out in verse 18, this was before Jesus ascended back into heaven after being resurrected. In verse 18, Jesus says, "Then Jesus came to them and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." So Jesus has all of the authority. Now, concerning the church, well, an evangelist is just one of the roles that someone would fill in service or ministry of serving Christ, who we see here. He's the one that built the church, and he's the one that has all the authority through the verses we just looked at in Matthew. And so an evangelist is the actual word evangelist is only used a couple of times in the scriptures, and 2 Timothy is used. Paul tells him to do the work of an evangelist. And also in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, an evangelist is one of the roles that is mentioned as part of those who serve in the church. And so those are the only places the evangelist is actually used. I believe it's used somewhere in Acts, I believe, when I was looking that up. But as far as who's over the church, once again, an evangelist is not someone who's over the church. An evangelist just goes out and they preach the gospel of Christ, and they teach. As far as being over the church, specifically, who is mentioned as being over the church? We see Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, and Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 gives you the answer there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 says, "And he put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all," talking about Christ there. And then over in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, says it even simpler. It says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who was the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence," talking about Christ there. So as far as who's over the church, Christ is. And as far as what an evangelist goes out and preaches the gospel. That doesn't mean they're over the church. Christ is the over the church. And we as the people are just members of his body. And the members have different roles, as 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about. The members of the body have different roles. So once again, that was Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and also chapter 28, verse 18. And then that was Ephesians 1:22 and Colossians 1:18. It is time for us to take our first break. But even while we're at break, go ahead and call in your questions. The questions are, the lines is available, 308-9564, 308-9564. The lines are open. Or you can text in your question to 725-9283, 725-9283.
Again, we want to encourage you to take advantage of the Bible Correspondence course or the Bible study in your home, something we send to you in the mail. It can be a help to you. There are many people around the Low Country that are doing these studies. And I say around the Low Country, but there are many of you who are listening from outside of South Carolina that have signed up for the course as well. And all the feedback that we get is that it's been a help to you in your study of God's Word. And so I hope that will be an encouragement to our other listeners. That maybe this will aid you and help you grow in your study of God's Word. And so we want to encourage you to take advantage of the Bible Correspondence course. There is no operator standing by today, but you can record, leave a recorded message, and we'll send that out to you in the mail. That number, again, to sign up for the Bible study in your home, and this is an in-home Bible course, is 553-5157, area code is 843. That's 553-5157. to call in your question here at the station right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number, 308-9564. And we will let the Bible speak. If you prefer to text in your question, we do have a text line. That text number is 725-9283. 725-9283. We mentioned earlier there is a website, and we talked about the link that would allow you to stream today's broadcast. But also on that website, we actually have previously recorded broadcasts where you can go and listen to the things that have been discussed. Oftentimes, we move at a fairly fast pace on this broadcast, and so maybe there are some things that you want to go back and listen to and slowly be able to capture all the details. Well, that will be available to you on that website. Again, that web address is www.biblealone.com. That's www.biblealone.com. So go ahead and call us right now, 308-9564. You set the theme, you set the tone by your questions, and we will just do our best to let the Bible speak. 308-9564. 308-9564.
We have Willie called back and wanted a follow-up question about an evangelist and asked, is an evangelist over or greater than any of the other roles that are given to those in the church? A couple of passages I want to bring out here. First, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 mentions multiple different roles that are included in the service of the church. It says, Ephesians 4:11 says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. But he did this for a very specific reason, for the equipping of the saints, plural, for the work of ministry or service, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. So the only reason Christ gave all those different roles was for the body to be edified and to be ready in needing everything that it needed to be able to be built up one another in work of ministry or service towards him. It says, verse 13, picking back up, says, till we all come to the unity of the faith, the oneness of this faith, and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should be no longer children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. See, there's so much that God wanted to be done with his church in the body that he couldn't just have just one role that people would play. And to go even further in this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. A good study would be the entire book, but chapter 12 specifically given the subject about the different roles that are served in Christ's church. Picking up in verse 12, talking about those in the body, it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, picking up in verse 12, says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. See, when you're baptized into Christ, we're all united. You have been baptized into Christ. You're a part. You become part of Christ's church, and you are able to share in this body, in the roles that are made and that have to be filled out. The body is for Christ. The body is Christ, and it's for the edifying and building up of itself. And we see here coming down in verse 22 that says, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. So in verse 22, it says that those members of the body which seem to be weaker. It doesn't say they are weaker. It says they seem to be, but they are necessary. So you may feel that, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a teacher, I'm not an evangelist. Well, then I'm not really that much of a help of the body of Christ. Well, we all have a role that we're supposed to be playing in the body of Christ. And if we go down a little bit further to verse 28, it says, and God has appointed these in the church: first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrators, and varieties of tongues. And then he asks a series of questions. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer to all of those questions is no. No, no one does all these. We can't say that there's people who fill into all of these roles. All people don't do every single one of these. So the different members of the body are supposed to perform different roles for the body to be edified. So that Ephesians chapter 4, combining that with 1 Corinthians chapter 12, those are two good chapters that you want to be able to look at if you want some more clarity on that subject. But Willie, hopefully that was helpful to you as well as anyone else who may have had that type of question. The call-in, the lines are available, 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text in your question to 725-9283, 725-9283.
We have a text question that came in. It says, what is the gift of tongues? Is it in any way connected to Genesis chapter 11, verses 8 and 9, displaying his power, God displaying his power in the New Testament, and it referenced 1 Corinthians 13, where it talks about some tongues. So let's talk about what are the tongues, because that was the first part of the question. Tongues were just a language, and if we were confused on that for any reason, because oftentimes before I started studying, I was very confused about tongues, and it's hard to. There's so many different teachings on tongues because it just says tongue. Well, if we were confused about that. God gives clarity in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost when men were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says that they began to speak in other tongues. And that's Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so now in verse 6, the Bible shows how that a multitude came together. And verse 7, then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galilean? And so they're listening to what these guys are saying, and they're looking at them. And they said, these guys all speak Galilean. And verse 8, and how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? You see, that's what tongues were. Tongues was a legitimate language, and so these folks here on the day of Pentecost were speaking other languages, languages other than what they had been born or raised up to speak, because, again, these men were Galileans, and now they're speaking a different language or a different tongue. In verse 9, it lists the tongues that they were speaking in, Parthians and Mede and Elamite, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya. So it gives real places where these languages were being spoken, and these individuals are speaking in a real language. And so tongues is a real language. So that to answer that question. The second part of your question has to do with what we read of in Genesis chapter 11, and that being the tower, that we read about the story of the Tower of Babel. It says, is it in any way connected to Genesis 11, verses 8 and 9, these tongues, God displaying his power? Well, when we look at Genesis chapter 11, and specifically verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, so the Lord scattered them abroad, and from there over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the cities. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. So by the time we get to Genesis chapter 11, what we see is that God is scattering all the language. But before that, if you look at verse 1 of Genesis chapter 11, they had a single speech. They all spoke one language. It says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And thus, there was a reason as to why God scattered the language. And that comes out in the next several verses in Genesis chapter 11. And if you read down to verse 6, you'll see that. I'm going to highlight verse 4. The Bible says, and they said, this is this group that was all speaking the same language, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. And so what we begin to see is that these folks are overtaken by a little bit of pride. They want to do something for themselves. Let us do this for ourselves, lest we be scattered. And as a result, look at verse 6, you'll see that God comes down and he deals with this particular situation. But there's nothing in this text that suggests that the reason that this passage has any connection to what we read of in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the tongues there. Those tongues that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 really is in connection with what we see that occurred there in Acts chapter 2. These miracles, and these were miraculous tongues that happened in New Testament times in Acts chapter 2, these men were speaking Galilean, and then miraculously now they're speaking in other languages. But why did that happen? In Acts chapter 2, we go back and we look at verse 11, we'll see that they were not just speaking on their own accord. And I'm going to pick up in the context in verse 11, it says they were speaking Cretan and Arabs. And it says in this text, we hear them speaking in our own tongues or languages, the wonderful works of God. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, that's where the church was established. You had people that had come out from every nation. And all of them that came out from every nation, they heard the gospel in their own language. And that's why these apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues, so that they might preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, what it says in this text, the wonderful works of God, verse 11, Acts 2, verse 11, so that they can hear the wonderful works of God. Now, you reference 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and so I'll wrap this up now in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14 all talks about the miraculous gifts, and the tongues come out in this text. What comes out towards the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is that tongues was a lesser gift. And so if you look at verse 28, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible says, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, variety of tongues. Notice that tongues fall on the very bottom of that listing. So what was the purpose of tongues? Well, that comes out in chapter 14, right in between chapter 13, which you referenced. In chapter 12, it brings out that tongues was a lesser gift. In chapter 14, it lets us know what the very purpose of the tongues were. And that's in verse 22, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. Therefore, tongues are not a sign. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. So the tongues, the ability to speak in a tongue that you have not learned, but miraculously, that was to be a sign for unbelievers. Well, that's what happened on the day of Pentecost when the church was established in Acts chapter 2. They spoke in another language for unbelievers, and thus it served as a sign. So you bring out a lot there in the various passages. We sure appreciate that. And again, it shows that you are definitely a student of the Bible, and so we appreciate your good and diligent effort. We hope that's been helpful to you. It's time for us to take a break, but even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to call in your questions. That number to call is 308-9564. That's the number. 308-9564 is the number at the station. If you wish, you can text us at 725-9283. Again, that's 725-9283. We'll be right back. Again, to gain access to the free correspondence course, and again, it is absolutely free. We'll send it to you in the mail. Something that you can do in your own home at your own pace. To gain access to that, go ahead and call that number, 553-5157, and just leave a recording, and we will try to get that out to you as soon as we can. We can't stress enough that in no way are we trying to replace the Bible. And so this is just a tool or help in your study of the Word. The way it's designed is that there are scriptures. You go and you read the scriptures, and then you ask the question. It gets you to the scriptures, and the questions generate thought, gets you to thinking perhaps differently than you know, maybe some things that you've thought about in the past. So if that's something that you believe will be a help to you in your study of God's Word, that is available to you free of charge. Just go ahead and call 553-5157, 553-5157. To join us here at the station with your question, to call your question into the station, go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number to call, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
We have a caller who wishes to remain anonymous who calls in this question, and they say, how can a male enter the church, or how can a male sinner come into the church and get right when women are wearing tempting clothes? Well, that's an interesting question, and we appreciate your diligence in wanting to come over that problem, that you do want to get closer to God, but seems to be females wearing tempting clothing, as you say, while you're in church and trying to focus on God. A couple of scriptures I want to bring out to you. First, I want to give you some comfort, a comforting scripture about, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." So there's no temptation that can happen to you that isn't any different from another temptation that someone else has gone through. Then it says, "But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able." So he's not going to allow you to be tempted and have to face a situation that you're not able to overcome. And then it says, "But with the temptation, he will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear." So that scripture right there should be very comforting to you, caller, that you can be able to overcome this temptation that you may be seeing when you come into the church. How can you overcome temptation of where you're in church and you're trying to focus on God and there's women wearing tempting clothes? Well, don't look. That might be a way to overcome the temptation. Or another passage, if don't look isn't that easy to you, we'll consider 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11 give a pretty good context of the things we're supposed to be doing to add to our faith. And picking up in verse 5 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence." That word diligence means consistent, fervent effort. This is a persistent, hard-working effort. "Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." But we see right there in chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "To knowledge self-control." You're supposed to add self-control. So maybe the situation of going into church and there's a woman tempting you with maybe their dress isn't as godly as it should be and it's tempting you. Well, maybe that's just an opportunity for you to add to your faith some self-control. And you must be able to look at the situation like that. Don't look at it as, "Oh, I'm so tempted and this is so hard. I might as well not even come to church because of these women in here are dressing a certain way." Maybe you should look at it as, "This is an opportunity for me to add to my faith self-control." And another scripture you might want to consider is 1 Timothy chapter 2 in verse 9. This is directed at the woman. Maybe those women don't know they're tempting you. Maybe they don't know they're dressing immodestly or in a tempting way. And maybe you could bring this verse out to them. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 9, it says, "In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works." So it says here that women are supposed to adorn themselves in modest apparel. So maybe they don't know that apparel they're wearing isn't modest for serving the Lord or coming to worship services. So hopefully that was helpful to you, caller. Once again, that was 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, really context is 5 through 11, and 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. Thank you for your question. To call us and reach us here at the station, the number for the voice line is 308-9564. That's 308-9564 is the number for the voice line, or you can text in your question to 725-9283, 725-9283.
You know, Chuck, as I was listening as you were giving the scriptures, another passage popped into my mind. And I like what you highlighted, the idea that he can go and he can and let perhaps these young ladies know, older ladies, hopefully not older ladies, but that know that they're not dressing appropriately. And but let them know that it's having an impact on him because clothing, ladies and gentlemen, our clothing actually says something about us. There's an interesting text in the book of Genesis, Genesis, the 38th chapter. It talks about a man by the name of Judah and a young woman by the name of Tamar. And the Bible shows how that this woman Tamar took off her widow garments. And so there were garments that you would wear if you were a widow. And so at least during that time period, the clothing had a message. And the people knew it had a message. In verse 14 of Genesis 38, the Bible says, "So she took off her widow's garments, covered herself with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place, which was on the way to Timnath, for she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given to him as wife." She changed her clothing. She put on this veiled garment. The Bible says in verse 15, when Judah saw her, he thought she was a harlot because she covered her face. And so the way that she had dressed gave Judah one impression of her. While she was not a harlot, but her dress, her attire, gave him an impression of her. So whether his impression was right or wrong, her garments, her style of dress, was actually communicating to Judah. And I think that there's a lesson in that for you and I, that our clothing, our style of dress actually speak. We need to be careful what it's actually saying. And so the gentleman that called, while there is a great deal of temptation on you, and maybe people listening say, well, he needs to change his life, he needs to fix his life. Well, I want to submit to you that he's not the only one that need to try to find self-control. But rather, those who are dressing in an ungodly way, they need to find self-control as well. And not everything that you wear is okay or is modest, but rather those things that you wear may be communicating things about yourself that you never intended. So that's something for us all to think about. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have a caller by the name of Jeffrey. Jeffrey calls in this question, and he asks, do prophets still exist today concerning the fivefold ministry? Well, that's a good question, Jeffrey. And I've heard of the fivefold ministry, as people call it. That's not a Bible term. It's not used in the Bible. But where that's drawn from is a passage I alluded to earlier in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And once again, the reason why those roles were given was for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then it goes on and on. And coming down, I didn't read this earlier, but I'll pick it up now. In verse 16, it says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for edification of itself in love. So all those different roles, once again, and also pulling in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the different roles and the different members of the body are used to edify the body itself. And each part of the body is supposed to be working towards the faith and service, the service or ministry of what you call it here. Ministry just means service. We're all supposed to be working and serving the Lord in certain ways that we are most profitable in being able to help. And I don't mean profit as in money. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking profitable as in good for, and what your gifts work for the best. Now, as far as do prophets, that's where that term fivefold ministry is brought from. But once again, it's not specifically used in the Bible like that. And as far as do prophets still exist, well, we'll see. A prophet is a mouthpiece for God. That's what a prophet is. A prophet is someone who speaks on behalf of God, carrying a message that God wants to relay. Now, this word that we have here, this Holy Bible that was compiled and completed around in the first century, this is the completed word of God. Now, if there's a prophet today, well, what are they prophesying about? Is it prophesying if they're just saying something that's already completed and written down in God's completed word? Well, that doesn't make sense. You can't make that fit. You can't say someone's prophesying if they're talking about something that's already given to us in God's word. And specifically, the verse I want to give you is Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds. So that passage goes on and gives a pretty vivid description to where there is, without a shadow of a doubt, that's talking about Jesus Christ. It's not talking about any other specific person apart from Jesus. So this Son that he speaks through us to in the last days is talking about Christ. How does Christ speak to us? Christ had spoke to, and he gave this word he gave a doctrine or a teaching to a group of people called apostles. And we know that they are the ones who wrote these epistles or these letters to these different various churches throughout the world. They wrote letters to the churches in Rome, to the church in Corinth, to the church in Philippi, Colossae, Ephesus, and Galatia, Thessalonica. They wrote letters to these churches, and we compiled them and together. And once again, like I said, this New Testament is written, and this New Testament is completed. This word is complete. So in the last days, we are living in the last days. These last days started with Christ, after Christ's resurrection. We're living in the last days, and it says that in the last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, and that Son being Christ. And his word that he spoke is completed, and we know it as this New Testament that we have living here. Jeffrey, thank you for your question. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. The number here at the station is 308-9564. 308-9564 is the number here at the station. Or you can text in your question to 725-9283. 725-9283.
There was a call that called in, I think, while Chuck was answering, and wanted this question asked, I guess, in conjunction with what Chuck was sharing, was what is an apostle? An apostle is one sent forth. So it's literally the word means one sent forth. And so what Jesus would do, he would select apostles, those whom he would send forth. And we look in Acts chapter 1, and what we'll begin to see is some qualifications for a person to be an apostle, because Judas fell by transgression, and so in order to replace Judas, they would select one to replace him, but that one must meet certain qualifications. We see that in verse 21, 22 of Acts chapter 1. But Jesus was the one that was selecting apostles and sending them forth. They were ambassadors. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me." So they were to go out and to be a witness of Jesus. They were going to testify of him. And not no hearsay witness. That's not a real witness, someone who heard what happened, but rather someone who saw what happened. And so when you look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 21 and 22, you'll see one of the qualifications is that they had to they had to have seen Jesus. That was one of the qualifications in order for them to be a witness. Sure hope that's been helpful to you. It's time for us to take a break, but even while we're at break, we will continue to listen out for the questions to come in. You can go ahead and continue to call 308-9564. It's the number to call, 308-9564. I understand we have a caller on tap already, but we'll get to you soon as we come back from break. We'll be right back. Again, we want to encourage you to take advantage of the correspondence course that's available to you. Just call 553-5157, leave a voice message, and we'll get that out to you in the mail. To call on your question here at station, go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the number to call, 308-9564. If you prefer to text your question in, you can. That number is 725-9283. Prior to going on break, I think we had a caller who wanted to go live. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes, go ahead with your question.
Well, the question that was asked about the fivefold ministry with the prophets, the gentleman that was answering the question, he kind of danced around the question that was asked. He did say about the scripture that's been given. Of course, the scripture that he uses was true, but he also used, what's the purpose of teaching the fivefold in Ephesians and also in 1 Corinthians 12 if that's not a function in the church?
Well, okay. Well, let's just stick with the question. So is your question, what's the purpose of the fivefold ministry?
Well, I mean, he never answered the question, are there still prophets today?
Well,
he never really answered that.
Well, I was the one who answered the question. I believe I answered it when I read the verse. The question was, do prophets still exist today? And the verse that I read in Hebrews 1, verse 1 says, God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. And then I went on to talk about we are living in the last days. We don't live in those times past.
But that doesn't nullify that they're not prophets today, because that's a function in the body.
Okay, so he gave a passage of scripture that shows very clearly that God spoke in time past by the prophets, half in his last days, spoken unto us by his Son. That's
right.
The answer.
But that doesn't say that there's not prophets today, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and according to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28.
And so the prophets that exist in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because Paul does talk about the prophets, in fact.
Yeah.
Here's what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I always tell folks that when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's important to look at chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14. Now, here's what Paul says concerning even those who would profess to be prophets. Mm-hmm. As he continues talking, he says in verse 33 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, "For God is not the author of confusion, but
That's
of
right.
peace, as in all the churches of the saints." And so then he goes on to give a series of things. In verse 34, "Let your women keep silent in the churches." You believe that? "For they are not permitted to speak." You believe that, right, Steve?
I do not. I believe women can speak in the churches. He was speaking to the Corinthian church,
now,
of which
here's what he says.
They were out of order there in Corinth, if you study history.
Okay, well, we don't want to talk about history. We just want to talk about the Word of God. Just let the Bible
Well, that's
speak.
What we're talking about.
Well,
but
I'm
the
reading
history
the Bible.
Of the Corinthian church.
Well, Steve,
but
if you're not going to listen to the Bible, there's no need for us to continue. This is let the Bible speak.
Well, let me
let it speak. Now, let me just finish. Here's what it says, verse 37. It says,
okay.
"If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge
right.
that the things which I write to you are the
That's
commandments of the Lord."
That's what he says.
Yeah,
but
and
also
so that would
same,
have to be true,
in that, But in that same chapter, he also said, "Forbid not to speak with tongues and to prophesy."
Yeah, in
that
fact,
same chapter
he
there,
says right,
right
here
he
in his
that.
Verse, in verse 39. He says, "Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid."
That's what he said.
Okay, I'm going to finish reading the text. He says, "Therefore, brethren, do not," desire earnestly to prophesy,
right.
"and do not forbid to speak with tongues."
There you go.
Right. And tongues is what? A language.
That's right.
It's not some mumble jumble.
Well,
yeah.
Brother, obviously you haven't received it, so that's why you referred to it as mumbo jumbo.
I said it's not mumble jumble. Now, if you were listening earlier, we cited from Acts chapter 2 and showed very clearly that when the apostles spoke in tongues, they spoke a language, and it gave the listing of languages that they spoke there. And the reason why
right.
I keep stressing, let's go back to the word. We don't want to trust what you feel or what I feel. What we feel
what,
don't matter.
It,
one second. The only thing that matters is just what the Bible
right.
says, right? So
and
when we're
the
trying
Bible
to define tongues.
In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, he set some first in the church. First, apostles.
We
second,
read that earlier.
Prophets.
Mm-hmm.
After that, teachers.
Yes, correct.
That's what he said in 1 Corinthians
yes,
12, 28.
I believe all that.
Yep. And so they're still here because that's the functions of the church. We're still in the church age. Jesus has not come back yet.
Well,
so we're still in the church age.
The apostles that we have today are the same apostles that they had. The prophets that we have today are the prophets that they had. That is to say, there was only one message, and they delivered that message. You believe that, don't you? You believe the Bible is complete.
They delivered that message.
So if someone's a prophet today, is he going to teach something other than what the prophets of old taught?
No, he's not.
Okay,
but he's
if
still.
Someone's an apostle today, is he gonna, so, if he's going to preach anything other than what the apostles of old taught?
He's going to confirm what they said.
That word was already confirmed.
He'll confirm.
Let's go back to the scripture again. Now. How was the message confirmed in the first century? You see, those gifts that you're talking about was used by God to confirm the message that was being preached. And that comes out in Mark chapter 16. If you look at Mark chapter 16, it does. In Mark chapter 16, in verse 18, it says, in verse 17, it says, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name,
Amen.
They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up a serpent. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They
That's
will lay
right.
hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. Verse 20.
Right.
"And they went out, and they went out, and they preached everywhere. And the
right.
Lord working with them. And
right.
confirming the word through the accompanying signs." And so they did go out, and they did do these wonders and signs, and God was confirming, according to this text, let me finish. They were confirming, God was confirming the word with the signs, and so
right.
the word has already been confirmed.
Right.
Okay.
He still confirms his
word.
The word
is finished. You said that you believe that the word is complete. That's what you said.
I do believe it's complete.
That's good enough for me, Steve.
But
the word is complete.
But those functions are still set in the body. It's in the scripture.
Well, Steve, I'm happy. We're absolutely happy to stay with you further. But we can't get away from the scripture and what scripture says.
Oh, I agree with you. And you guys actually do a very good job of taking the scripture and using the scripture. But here's the thing that I hear come from your programs is you start talking about a verse and you shut it up. You don't expound on this. It's line upon line and precept upon precept. It's not just take a verse out here, there, and yonder. You have to look at the whole context.
We do that, and if you think that we're failing in that, we're happy to sit down and study with you.
I've already met with your brother there, and, of course, he had the same opinion.
There's no need for us to continue this discussion. But we do have other folks out there that do have questions, and what we want to do is be able to
I just hope you guys don't quit deceiving folks about using the scripture
it. We sure appreciate your time.
I hate that.
Again, we encourage you, if you want to sit down and study with the Word of God, now we can do that. Now, what I tried to show you was that here's what God says. Here's Paul says, if a man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, he must acknowledge that the things that I write are the commandments of God. So I asked you about women speaking. You said, no, I don't believe that. And that's all in one verse. I mean, all in one text. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Just read the text as a whole. I'm not denying that it says do not deny speaking in tongues. A person speaking in tongues, there are churches that actually speak in tongues today. That is to say they speak a real language, and thus there's someone to interpret that real language. And that real language, they're speaking the Word of God. That's the very purpose of it. And so there are congregations that are half Americans and half Spanish-speaking, and there are people there that will actually stand up in the preaching and preach in Spanish, preaching in a tongue. And then there will be someone that comes and they would decipher what was being said. That is the idea of speaking in a tongue. That was what's happening in the first century. The only difference is what they were doing in the first century was done miraculously. Today, if you hadn't learned a language, you're not going to be speaking the language. And I'm happy to study with anyone on that. And if that's something that you're interested in sitting down and studying on, we are absolutely willing to do that. Here's a number that you can call, and we'll set up a time, and I'll come out and study with you. You mentioned you study with a brother, but I'm happy to sit down and study with you. Just let it be known when you leave your name on the recording, 553-5157, 553-5157. The format of this show is not as such that we can go back and forth, but rather we'll give you the scripture. If you deny or you reject the scripture, that's on you. If you have a different opinion, again, there's nothing I can do about that, but we'll offer you these passages. And our attempt is really just to let the Word of God speak. And so I hope that you will be encouraged by that. We do appreciate everyone calling in, and we don't want to take away from what good questions that are out there, and so we want to encourage you to go ahead and call in your question. It is time for us to take a break, but even while we're at break, go ahead and call in your questions, please. We do appreciate everyone who takes the time out to call those questions in. That number is 308-9564. That is the number to call, 308-9564. We'll be right back. Again, we want to encourage you to call in your question, 308-9564. Just call in your questions, and we will do our best to just go through the scriptures and let the Bible speak to the question that's on your heart. 308-9564.
We had a caller who wishes to remain anonymous that says their question is, does God talk to people directly? Well, that verse, the answer is in the same verse that I read earlier, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Does God talk to people directly? Well, the answer is no and yes. Does he talk to people directly? Yes. When we are reading his word, that's when he talks to us directly. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets. So in past times, God spoke to us by the prophets. In verse 2, it says, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, being Jesus Christ, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made all the worlds. So he speaks to us through his Son. And what did his Son do? His Son gave his words to apostles. And those apostles were their words and what they taught were written down in letters. And this word was completed in the first century. These letters, they were completed and compiled into God's word that we call the Holy Bible, and mainly the New Testament is what God's word. In John 12, verse 48, Jesus tells us that the words which I have spoken to, the words which I have spoken in the last day will judge him in the last day. Just John 12, verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. So that's what John 12, 48 says. Jesus says that the word he spoke will judge him in the last day. And that's this New Testament word. So as far as God speaking directly to us, no, he speaks directly to his son. His son spoke to the apostles, and the prophets and the apostles, they wrote the word down that we have completed as the New Testament. So when God speaks to us directly, it's when we are reading his word. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. Once again, that's Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. To call us, call in your question at the station, 308-9564. The lines are open. Both lines are open at 308-9564. Or you can text in your question to 725-9283, 725-9283.
Aaron calls in today. Aaron, we sure appreciate you listening. Aaron says, is it true that if you live right, when you die, you will see your loved ones again? Well, Aaron, that's a very good question. I know that all of us have seen some loved ones pass away. And the general thought is, if I live the right life, then I'll see my loved ones again. Well, only if your loved ones are in the same place that you are headed. And so the idea is that they have to live right, too. When we say live right, it's more than just being a good person, right? So Acts chapter 10 talks about a man by the name of Cornelius. And this man, you know, you read this text, sounds like he's living right. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion. Centurion was a soldier of what is called the Italian regiment. In verse 2, it says he was a devout man, one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the poor. So he helped the poor. And this man also prayed to God always. And so for this man sounds pretty good. He sounds like he's doing what's right. But even in living like that, he still had not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had not heard the gospel. And so just being a good person don't get it done. Now, how do I know he hadn't heard the gospel? Well, in Acts chapter 11, he is told to send for Peter. In verse 13, we see Peter in his house. And in verse 14, he says, who would tell you words whereby you and all your household will be saved? And so this man Cornelius still need to hear words whereby he and his household could be saved. That means that he wasn't. And so once he heard the message of the gospel, he did in fact obey the gospel. And so to be right in God's sight, we must obey the message of the gospel. And we might feel a certain way about any particular subject. The way we feel doesn't really constitute truth. We have to just do what God says. And Jesus says, the Hebrew writer says it this way, concerning Jesus in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. It says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author or the source of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. We have to obey God, and so that requires knowing what God says that we ought to do. Aaron, very good question. And so really the goal is to get yourself right with God. And if your loved ones were right with God, then there is this opportunity to be able to see them again in the afterlife. If you have any questions about how to get right with God, go ahead and call 553-5157, and we can arrange a time to come out and talk to you. 553-5157. So join us right now here at the station with your question. Go ahead and call 308-9564. That is the line to call, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have Kim calling in this question. Kim, thank you for calling in your question. And her question says, was Ishmael cursed? Very good question, Kim. And this question comes out of Genesis chapter 16. That's talking about Ishmael. Ishmael was the son of Hagar, who was a maidservant of Sarah, whose husband was Abraham. So Abraham and Sarah, they were promised a child, and they went through a process of not waiting on the Lord long enough. And Sarah, Abraham's wife, comes to the conclusion that, well, God probably meant for us to have a son through my slave, my maidservant, Hagar. So Sarah directs her husband to impregnate her maidservant, Hagar, take him as his wife, and to impregnate her, and he does. And that son was Ishmael. And the question is, was Ishmael cursed? And that probably comes out of Hebrews chapter 16, verse 11. Well, this is the angel of the Lord speaking to Hagar, says, behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. And he shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Well, that may sound like a curse to some people. He'll be a wild man. He'll his hand shall be against every man, and his man and every man's hand against him. So parts of that may sound like a curse. But what does God say about that? We have to go over to the next chapter, Genesis chapter 17, that says in verse 19. Then God said, taking up verse 18, it says, and Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. Was Ishmael cursed? No. No, Ishmael was not cursed. Going by Genesis chapter 17 and verse 19 and 20, no, Ishmael was cursed. Specifically, verse 20, it says, I have blessed him. I will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He'll beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. So, no, Ishmael was not cursed. Once again, that was Genesis chapter 16, verse 12. In chapter 17, verse 20. Thank you for your question, Kim. Hopefully that was helpful to you. The call in at the station, your lines are open, 308-9564. I believe we have a live caller by the name of...
Mike.
Mike, are you there?
Yes, how you doing?
Mike, are you still there?
Yeah.
We are having...
Can you hear me?
Hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
You don't have to yell as our equipment. Hold on a second. We're trying to get it right. Go ahead and say something, Mike.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go.
Go ahead.
We got you now.
Okay.
What's your question?
My question is, I just wanted to be clear. There's a lot of women who are pastoring and ministering at churches, and I really have no problem with for the female being able to minister, but I recently read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34, where it speaks about women not being able to, to speak in churches and that they were supposed to go to their husband.
Correct.
I just wanted you to elaborate, if you could, a little bit on those verses. Again, I don't want women to think that I'm bashing them, but I just wanted to be clear on... are women supposed to be heading up churches? From what I understand, they're not supposed to, but I wanted to hear your take on it.
All right. Well, Mike, we sure appreciate it. Do you want to stay on the line and we answer the question, or do you want to clear the line and we can answer the question? It's up to you. Okay. All right, Mike. We sure appreciate you calling in. And I will try to give some clarity, because I did reference 1 Corinthians 13 and... 14, 1 Corinthians 14. And I always tell people when they look at 1 Corinthians, you really have to look at that book as a whole. It's not a book, it's a letter. And the way we read a letter is from beginning to end. And what you'll see as you look at the letter as a whole, all of the letter to the church at Corinth, you'll see that Paul is addressing problems at the church. In the first four chapters, there's issues. In chapter 1 and verse 10, there's division among them. And then he goes on to talk about this division. You get into chapter 5, you'll see that there is sin, sexual sin, where a son would have his father's wife. You get into chapter 6, you'll see that there's more sin that comes to light, where they're taking each other to court, and so he addresses that. And then in chapter 7, there's some issues with marriage, and so he addressed that. Chapter 8, 9, and 10, there are some issues eating meat offered to idol and causing your brother to stumble, and so he addresses that. You get to chapter 11, there's a couple of issues there. One has to do with the Lord's Supper, another has to do with the head covering, and so he addresses those. You get to chapters 12, 13, and 14, there were some issues associated with miraculous gifts, which are issues that we hear about most often today, even on this broadcast. And so he addresses those issues in chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. in addressing that in chapter 14 as he's giving what I call legislation. He's giving law on how they were to conduct themselves in the church while they had these miraculous gifts. He is clear that there was a behavior or a structure that needed to be followed. And I'm picking up in the middle of the context in verse 33 where he says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." So we know that he's just not talking about just one church at Corinth, but rather God is not the author of confusion in any church. And so this is not something that's only applicable or only applies to the church at Corinth. Keep in mind, these letters were passed around from one church to the next, so they read. So these letters that are written to the church, it's not just a letter written to the church at Corinth. If I take that stance, then all the other letters that are written to the churches, like the letter that's written to the church at Ephesus and the various things there, I would have to dismiss that and say that only applies to the church at Ephesus. But none of my religious friends want to do that. If I take the letter that was written to the church at Colossae, the Colossians letter, and say, well, that's only for them, then I have to dismiss everything that's in that letter. Well, no, these are letters written to the church in general. Now, here's what he says in this letter. Now, I want you to pay close attention in verse 34. He says, "Let your women keep silent in the churches." And that's plural. So we know he's not just talking about the church there at Corinth. So that dismisses that idea. He says, "For they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home. For it is shameful for women to speak in church." He doesn't say in this church. He doesn't say the church at Corinth. But rather, he says in general, in the church. That's just what he says. He says, verse 36, "Or did the word of God come originally from you? Or was it you only that it reached?" And so in verse 37, he lets us know that this is something that was going to be applicable to everyone. And anyone out there who thought themselves to be spiritual, anyone out there who thought themselves to be a prophet, even they had to comply with this teaching. And he says it this way in verse 37. "If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant." And so he used some very strong language to say that this is not just applying to the church at Corinth. Some people say, well, Paul really didn't like women. I've heard that. But that doesn't show anywhere in the Bible. And if he was using his own personal opinion, why would you listen to anything else that he wrote? And in fact, Paul writes somewhere around 11, 12 books in the New Testament. So you would have to dismiss all his writings as well. And so you can't do that. Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he's speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And this is what he says. And he's clear that if a person thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, he has no choice but to acknowledge that the things that he writes, that Paul wrote, are not the words of Paul, but rather are the commandments of the Lord. Mike, I sure hope that's been helpful to you. We sure appreciate you calling in. To join us right now, 308-9564. It is time for us to take a break. But even while we're at break, I want to encourage you to call in, to go ahead and call in. We're headed towards our last segment, so get your questions in quickly. 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We are back live, and once again, this is our last segment. Please go ahead and get your questions called in if you want to be able to make it, and we will be able to let the Bible speak on your question. Before we went to break, I believe we had Sam calling in.
Yes,
and wants to go live.
Sam in North Charleston, how you doing?
Doing well, Sam. How you doing?
Fine. There was a call they called in about either text or whatever have you about this God speaking. If you go to Job 32:14-17, it talks about it right then and there. And I'm gonna let you let the Bible speak, but I want to say another thing. I think women are very good preachers, and I'm through with that. So have a nice day.
Hey Sam, we sure appreciate you calling in. So let's make clarity on the passage there in Job.
Okay.
That would be what Chuck brought out in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1, where it says that God, who spoke in past times by the fathers to the fathers by the prophet. But at one time, God did speak directly to man. We would never debate that. He spoke directly to Noah. He told Noah to build an ark. And you know what Noah did? He built an ark. But now the Bible shows in Hebrews that he spoke to his son. And then if you look at John chapter, and I encourage our listeners out there to read John chapter 14, 15, 16, you'll see that God promises to send, that Jesus is speaking here, that Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was going to guide the apostles into all truth. And that's what the Holy Spirit did. It guided the apostles into all truth. And what they did with that message that they received, they wrote it down. Paul says it this way in Ephesians chapter 3. He says he writes so that when we read, we might understand his knowledge in the mystery. And so if someone writes down a mystery, it's no longer a mystery. And so he wrote it down so we can read it. That was God's intent. Keep in mind that during the first century when the church was established, they did not have a Bible like you and I have. They didn't have the Word of God this way. They had the Word of God by the mouth of individuals, and thus the Holy Spirit was working with them, and thus they were speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And Peter says something interesting in 2 Peter, and we usually start the broadcast off with this particular verse, but this verse highlights what information they had. It lets us know that there's no new information. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says in verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. And so God had given the apostles all things that pertain unto life and all things that pertain unto godliness. And so they had it in the first century. They had all things. If God has given all things, what else is left? Yeah, exactly. Nothing. Nothing
well,
left.
You have to agree that well, I'm looking right here at 32:15 in a dream, in a vision of night when deep sleep falls upon man and slumbering upon the bed, that he opens the ears of men and still their instructions.
Absolutely. That happened absolutely in the Old Testament time. It sure did.
And
it happened in the infancy stages of the church. Absolutely.
What would you have to say is happening right now for the saints?
No, God has given his word. You see, Sam, what God has done, he has placed us in what I call a conundrum or a dilemma.
Okay.
You see, either a person is going to say that they believe the word of God is complete, or they're going to say they don't believe it's complete. If you say you believe it's complete, then you know there's nothing else. This is revelation. This is the revelation of God. The Bible is the revelation. It's the revealed word of God. Mm-hmm. If you believe that it is complete, there is no new revelation. If you don't believe it's complete, then there's all kinds of things you can believe in at that point. But the Bible itself expresses itself as being complete. Right? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and then there's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scriptures, given by inspiration of God's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Yeah, either God has given us all that we need, like the Bible says, or he hasn't.
I got one more question.
Yes, sir.
Turn over. I often think about my family members. You know, everybody's gone. But when I was a little boy, he said that if your family members who have passed away forget about you and you got that thought of them, they'll think about you. Is that in the Bible? It says that any lost ones or family members who passed away are thinking about you and you get that, I'm going to say ESP, but you get that thought that they're thinking about you? Is that in the Bible somewhere?
Well, there is an example, and it looked like Chuck may be turning to it. I think it's Luke
16.
Luke 16. It gives the example, yes, of the rich man and Lazarus. And it seems to suggest that although this man had died, the rich man had died, he was, in fact, thinking about his loved ones. And, in fact, he had, I always tell folks, he was converted in his death. That was too late. But he wanted to send someone back to go talk to his loved ones. I think, Chuck, you have the reference.
Yeah, Luke chapter 16, we see here, and here Jesus is telling the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man is begging in verse 27. He says, "Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." In verse 29, Abraham said to him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." So we see here that, this rich man, he was in this place of torment, and he was begging for someone to go talk to his brothers, his five brothers, that and warn them about living right and being able to not come to this place of torment. But Abraham answers to him, well, he has Moses and the prophets, meaning he has the word of God. And likewise, us today, we have the word of God, not Moses and the prophets, but we have this New Testament law that through John 12:48, Christ tells us will judge us in the last day. So we have this New Testament law. We have it here. We have to decide whether we want to live by it or not. And if we do not, we will end up in a place of torment. But if we do.
Well, okay, well, my younger brother was saved by grace, and he has passed away. So if I'm thinking about him, is he trying to send me a message or something?
No, the Bible doesn't show anything like that.
Okay.
And in essence, we're all saved by grace through faith, according to Ephesians chapter 2.
Well, the way I look at it is it's just making me stronger. That's how I look at it.
Okay.
I'm going to let somebody else have the
All right, Sam, we sure.
I thank you very much.
All right, Sam, thank you so much. We sure appreciate you.
Right, bye.
All right, bye-bye. One other thing that Sam asked about was, or he made a reference to women preachers. He says, I think they're good speakers. And, Sam, I wouldn't disagree with you. I believe they're good speakers. In fact, I know there are a lot of ladies that go around teaching. There's not a prohibition in the scriptures against women teaching. So I want to be clear on that. But as far as being able to get into the pulpit or to get before the congregation in the church, what the Bible calls the church, and teach, there's a prohibition in God's word for that. So, Sam, I know you wouldn't disagree with God's word on that. And so we don't ever want to communicate that we're saying that someone is less, because we don't believe that. And I don't want to ever suggest that women can't teach, because the Bible says they can teach. But there is a certain time and place where they can. And that's what comes out in the scriptures that we all have to hold to if we would be students of the Bible, thus obedient to the word of God. Chuck, I believe you had a question.
Yeah, Ben, he has a question about 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. We're going to read verse 10 just in the context. It says, now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one of your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. So Satan can take advantage of us if we do not resist him. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, that he will flee from us. So we have to take that. We have to submit to God, excuse me, and resist the devil, that he may flee from us. And First John chapter 2 says what his Satan's devices are. See, in 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says we are not ignorant of his devices. That's because 1 John chapter 2 tells us what his devices are. It says chapter 2, verse 15, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So those three things, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, those are Satan's devices that he uses against us, and we are not ignorant of them. So therefore, we should submit to God and resist those things.
We're at the end of our broadcast, and I want to try to at least get one other question in. It says, where in the Bible it says you have to stand when the scripture is being read? Is it wrong not to stand if asked, and is it not required by God? This is a text question that came in. We sure appreciate you texting in. There's nothing in the Bible as far as New Testament worship that says you have to stand. And so we'll just let the Bible speak on that. We won't speak neither. So the Bible doesn't say anything about that in the New Testament church. There is another question that Kim, you called in, and so we will try to get to that next week. We are out of time. We want to encourage our listeners to continue to do your own personal studies. Take the things that we've said today, the scriptures we've given you, go back and you study for yourself. I appreciate so much the call that called in, and he wanted more detail on a passage that we gave. And so, again, that shows the right attitude. We mentioned the correspondence course you can sign up for, 553-5157, and we'll send that to you in the mail free of charge. No matter what anybody says, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what you hear on this broadcast, when it comes down to the church, when it comes down to religion, when it comes down to salvation, we must let the Bible speak.